All right. Specs tapping the table. It's in a song from his era. Are
you kidding me, man? I grew up on this stuff.
Wow. It's like, you know, I've seen some old pictures when you're wearing that ball cap and you got hair passed down, not quite to your ass, but shoulder length.
Yes, so what?
Yeah, so what? Man, I couldn't imagine what was going on in Specs world back in those days.
There had to be a bush party somewhere, pal.
Those were fun, eh? Oh, there's a couple instances we had back in the day in the old bush parties.
Oh, boy, let's not even get started.
Mm-hmm. Lots of fun.
I don't think the...
listeners?
I'm not sure the statute of limitations is up on those yet.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they are. I mean, anything that you did back in the last century, I think you should be able
to
go.
You should be okay. Yeah. Well, it is.
So anything 99 and back.
Okay, that's so 25 years.
That gives you, yeah.
That's, we're going to have another radio show then.
Yeah. Oh, we could tell some stories. Man, we had a lot of fun back in the day. Still have fun now. It's just different.
Yeah.
It's not. We're not like the Duke who, you know, now he's doing the things that we used to do, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, what about Scrivens? He's somewhere in between.
I don't know. Do we got Scriv yet? Okay. Time now to bring in Ben Scrivens, former Oiler, former NHL goaltender. Good morning, Scrivy. You're with Kevin Karius and Mark Spector. Thanks for coming on Sports 1440.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I thought we were going to have a hair talk, and I was well, getting excited.
I was wondering where you're probably putting a lot of products in and getting ready for tonight. That's a long process for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's hair wash day is a real thing. All the hair wash math that women talk about is tried and tested.
Yeah. You know, I've noticed you haven't been at many alumni skates recently. Is that because everyone's figured out that toe drag of yours?
You know what? I got to keep people guessing, but the reality is I've actually been, busy kind of, burning the candle at both ends. I've had some fun alumni trips in the past, past couple weeks. We had our AGM in St. Louis and Kelly Chase, put on just a fantastic event down there. There's an alumni game and it was, undoubtedly the best lineup I've ever played with. Like half the guys were Hall of Famers. I was for sure out of my element, but got to meet some country stars. Garth Brooks was our coach. Dierks Bentley was there, and at the end of the day, they raised over $600,000 for the Jimmy V Foundation and cancer research. So it was just a phenomenal event, and maybe someday we can host those here in Edmonton and put on a good show for the deserving fans here in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. We obviously have the alumni and the star power to. To bring in a pretty ruthless Oilers alumni group. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'll make the cut for that roster.
Yeah, that was the puck cancer, and Kelly Chase is battling like a son of a gun here. He was front row and center. How's he doing? And he's a favorite for sure.
Yeah, he looks great, and there's quite a few members of the alumni group that were there that have had their own personal battles and in different stages of it. Brian Boyle was there, Granato was there, and obviously Kelly Chase and a couple others. So Kelly's doing great. I mean, he looks great. He looks like he's got good energy. He's a fighter and he's just got the best support around him. So, overall it's such a great event and a worthy cause and to pair that with, some business for the Alumni Association was, it was a good alignment, but it kept me away from the alumni game, the alumni skates here in Edmonton.
Yeah, you didn't miss much. So, I watched them. Yeah. They're not that good.
No, all the guys, every time Koff comes down to watch, the D-men seem to step up a little bit.
You
I'm
got
not
that
quite
right.
Sure what's going on.
Yeah, you got that right.
Hey, listen, speaking of stepping up, this is a time for Stu Skinner to kind of, how would I say? Let me start again. McDavid and Draisaitl are going to play their 50th playoff game tonight. Mm-hmm. This is game number 50 for that duo. Stu Skinner hasn't played as many, but he's the guy responsible for keeping pucks out of the net and to, you know, it's time for this McDavid Draisaitl era to win something here. Is one playoff run enough for Stu Skinner?
Yes, I think so. And the reason I think that is that you have had numerous examples of goalies who have had no playoff runs, who have had success and long, deep runs in it. I am for sure an outlier in this, and you guys might roll your eyes at it, but like you don't need the gone are the days where you need Patrick Waugh to win you a Stanley Cup. Gone are the days where you need Dominic Hasek or Marty Brodeur to carry you, the Jaguars, steal enough games and enough rounds to win you a Stanley Cup. Those days are gone. You do not need colossus goaltending in order to win.
Okay.
What you need is team defense. You need consistency down the middle. You need your top pairings to play big minutes and to play sturdy big minutes. You need timely scoring. You need depth scoring. You need your third line to produce. And when you have all those things going, you tend to have more outside shots. You tend to give up fewer grade A chances. You tend to play a more grinded out playoff style hockey, which is conducive to goaltending and having good stats. So Stu has had, he's got experience from last year. What he doesn't have probably is the bullpen support that he had last year. Like if you remember back to the LA series, there was the tough game down in LA. Jack Campbell comes in and basically the Oilers are hemorrhaging in a game that they must win. And Campbell makes a couple big saves, save on a breakaway in the second period, big glove save either in the first or in the third period, and gives the Oilers enough of a life raft in order to win that game. I don't know that Stu has that type of bullpen support this year. So the pressure is on. He's got to be more consistent, but the consistency comes from the team defense in front. And I think that they have that. They've got probably a deeper team than they had last year. And I thought last year they had a really good chance at it, right? With Bjugstad and some of those big forwards coming in. I thought the Carrick and Henrik trades were good. They're a well-built team. It's just a matter of putting it all together now and getting luck. You need some luck here and the Oilers deserve some, they've earned some. That's the challenge. That's why they play the game, see who gets it.
Yeah. Ben Scrivens with us on Sports 1440. I'm not sure if you can remember back, but when the Oilers played 2006 against Detroit, they gave up a lot of shots against the Wings, but everything was on the outside for the most part. And Dwayne Roloson said that, even though I'm facing, 35, 40, 40 some shots a game, they're not that hard of shots, and they're not that more. The difficulty of saves, not there. It's not at that level. Would you agree that that's kind of what you were getting at with what the Oilers have to be to do to be successful against the Kings, Scribby?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't remember that quote verbatim. I actually don't know if I remember. I remember him making a kind of a Superman glove save at home against Detroit, which is you need to make a save or two, but Stu's been making a save or two all year. So has Calvin Pickard, and historically Campbell has had, games where he's been able to do that, depending on who they kind of slot in the lineup. But that's exactly right. I mean, you had Chris Pronger back then, who was, he was
okay.
Commanding that ship.
He was,
yeah,
okay.
He's, Hall of Famer, and they had a sturdy defenseman. They had timely scoring, all of the stuff we kind of ran through. But yeah, you make things consistent and clear in your own zone. Now the goalies know, where the shots are coming from. You clear the net front and you give them opportunities to see. And all of a sudden life becomes a little bit easier for everybody, right? The better the job of gets done in front of them, all of a sudden there's fewer rebounds to contend with. There's fewer of those playoff style wars in front because your goalie's making some consistent saves and not giving up the rebounds where you now have to expend extra energy battling net front. You can save that for the other, for 200 feet down the other end.
Ben Scrivens joins us. Ben, I don't know how much of the Kings you've watched this year, but they're going in a like we're talking about Scrivens that's shown a team here in Edmonton. He's played very solid. He's played well. You know, the Colorado game. We're not even talking about that game. It didn't count.
that was yeah. Why?
That was
there's so many question marks about that.
Yeah, that was a disaster. On the other side, Cam Talbot has been somewhere less than that. There's some question marks around Cam Talbot as a starter. And David Riddick is a proven number two. I mean, when I say that, I mean he's nowhere close to a number one. I guess I'll just ask you your thoughts on LA's goaltending, and is there a question mark going into the series?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question mark becomes flashing and more glaring when you hold it up, when you juxtapose it with the Oilers' offense, which is, you know, I live and die by the, like, I'm not changing my answer with LA. Like, you don't need phenomenal goaltending in order to win. But the team defense of LA has to be that much better because the Oilers offense is that much better. Like, we haven't seen the Oilers power play really be like the gut punch that it's been in the past. And that's a good thing because it has meant that their 5-on-5 game is doing more of the damage, more of the, you know, the leading of that. But I mean, they have the same players. They have the same lineup from that historic power play run, of last year. And like, you know, you really have to stay out of the box. You can't give the Oilers like free looks on the power play because, you know, it's only a matter of time before these big guys convert. As far as Talbot, you know, he's got to come in. If you're on LA's perspective, like you got to come in and you can't try to win games. You can't try to steal them. Because when you start getting out of yourself and looking for big saves, looking for momentum changes, you start chasing the game and you just get roasted. You start to, you know, on 2-on-1, you're looking for a big save on the pass across. That's when a guy shoots short side and it's an ugly goal, right? Like, you got to play it consistent. You got to play the shot for what it is. And the big saves will come. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's what they're going to need out of Talbot. And his challenge is bigger. The LA team's defense challenge is bigger just because of how potent this Oilers offense is and how deep it is now.
One last one for you, Scrivy. You mentioned team defense several times today. What did you think of that team defense in game one between Colorado and Winnipeg yesterday?
Yeah, well, you know what? I kind of love it because it used to be that playoff hockey was like you'd win 2-1 in double overtime, and it's like it's for the people who love it, they love it. But for like a league that's trying to expand the game and grow the game, and for how do we put it? For like a lay person down in the States or any of these like non-traditional hockey markets, like goals are king, right? Like that's where the excitement comes. And so for playoff hockey, I mean, it's the trend has been going this way for a little while. I mean, we think back to the Calgary Edmonton series. It was only 5 games, but it felt like it was 100 goals in it, right? A couple 8-6 matches. You know what? Like, I think it's a good thing. And at the end of the day, right? Like, team defense is important in like not giving up the next one. And, you know, undoubtedly those, both Colorado and Winnipeg will kind of go back to the drawing board and probably give up fewer. And, Bieksa had a decent little breakdown. It was like during in between periods that they were just like clumsy with the puck in their own end. And it was kind of like shooting themselves in the foot and that stuff really gets cleaned up quickly in the playoffs. So I foresee certainly on Winnipeg's and, you know, more of a contained defense conscious game than in game two than both teams demonstrated in game one.
Yeah, they're going to tighten it up for sure. Hey, Scrivy, thanks for this. Really appreciate your time. We'll see you maybe down at the rink tonight.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Ben Scrivens, former Edmonton Oiler and NHLer. When we come back, Daryl Evans, LA Kings analyst, and our game of the day for St. Albert Dodge as we continue our focus on game one of the Kings and Oilers tonight at Rogers. It's Carius, it's Spectre, it's Sports 1440. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the big program. Time now for the game of the day, brought to you by St. Albert Dodge. Over 300 new Dodge, Ram, and Jeeps are available for 0% up to 72 months on select models, and 0% also available on all Ram 1500s. That's only at stalbertdodge.com as we welcome in Daryl Evans, the LA Kings analyst. Good morning, Daryl. You're with Kevin Carius and Sportsnet's Mark Spector. Thanks for hopping on Sports 1440 this morning.
Always a pleasure, guys. A great day for kick the playoff series off. It's a great time of year.
Yeah, it's almost been a rite of spring here between the Oilers and Kings, third straight year. And they did three straight years back in the 90s as well, 90, 91, and 92 meeting in the playoffs. So familiar foes. What do you make of this one, Daryl, compared to maybe last year?
Yeah, you know what? Again, two teams that are very familiar with each other. And I think over the 3 years now, both teams have made adjustments to improve their team, you know, to kind of get to the next level. And for the Kings, the next level is, you know, winning a series and, you know, being against the Oilers, of course. I think they've made, they made a lot of strides in that regard. I think sometimes the Kings aren't maybe, they don't get maybe the respect that they deserve. I think that, they come in as the underdog. But I think it's going to be a heck of a series. Mm-hmm. I think, you look at the games between the two teams with the adjustments that both teams have made. It's a chess match out there. It's, a shift to shift, game to game. And it should be an interesting series. I expect a long series, mm-hmm. For sure.
What would you say, Daryl, if I said to you, tell me why the LA Kings are a better team today than they were 12 months ago? List off for me what makes them a better team.
Well, I think the playoff experience that they had last year, they haven't had a lot of playoff experience. So, the guys that have been around for the last 2 years, and then some of the guys played last year for the first time. They're still going to have a couple of guys that are guys like LaFerriere and that are going to step into the postseason for the first time. But I think when you get a chance to play in playoff hockey, we all know it's a whole different beast when you get into that. That you learn a lot from it. And that's, you wait for the next opportunity, and that next opportunity is now for the Kings. So I think playing as a group, I think they've matured as a group. I think they've got a better trust in each other. And I think they feel very confident, in the way that they're playing, that this will be the year that, they find themselves to the next level. But, of course, we all know it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. I always find the first round of the playoffs to be the hardest round. You get into a little bit of a rhythm, but it should be good. But, the strides that they made, the addition of Dubois, Englund back on the blue line, the goaltending has stabilized itself. The penalty kill has improved from last year. So I think they've definitely addressed, things that maybe – I don't want to say hurt them, but maybe were the real.
I think we might have just lost Daryl Evans, Duke. Is he just probably maybe zipping in and out of coverage there? We'll check him out here.
Are you still there? Sorry, yeah, we just lost
that. So, have we got him, Duke? Yeah. Daryl, can you hear me?
I got you loud and clear.
Perfect. Good stuff. Yeah. So we just missed the end of your last answer, but for you, as we're joined by Daryl Evans, LA Kings analyst, Kevin Carius, Mark Spector on Sports 1440. What have you noticed, any differences in the team, Daryl, since Jim Hiller took over for Todd McClellan behind the bench? What's kind of caught your eye in the sense of the two different coaches, what they've been offering behind the bench?
I would say they're probably a little bit more aggressive. I know that was something that they wanted to push. When Jim took over, he wanted to be a little bit more aggressive, maybe a little bit more physical. Another area that they've really addressed was stepping into the shooting lanes and blocking shots. I think collectively as a group, they've really elevated in that regard. Everybody on the ice, forwards, defense, You know, they're doing their part to, you know, help their goaltenders, help protect their goal. And I think there's definitely been an increase in that regard, blocking shots. So, you know, the opposition still, you know, will find a way to get their chances. But I think for the most part, the increased block shots and the physicality have been two noticeable differences from the team playing with a little bit more pace.
So, Darryl, this is being billed as the first game all season that the LA Kings have had their entire lineup together. Nobody's hurt. That's got to give you sort of an intangible, right? That's got to give you it's got to be good for the Kings, not just because they have all their good players. You know, looks like, I assume Grundstrom's going to play. They got Arvidsson back. But I think that when the group gets everyone, you know, when the nest is full, right, guys kind of feel a bit better about their team.
For sure, you know, and I think what it does too is allows the coaches to, you know, to slot everybody in the positions that when you put your team together at the beginning of the year, you know, you look at, okay, this guy was acquired for here, this guy will move up to this line, yeah. This guy comes over here, and then through the course of the year, let's face it, everybody goes through injuries and, you know, the ups and downs, and, you know, coaches are, you know, they're not too, you know, so fortunate to be able to have everybody available, but, you know, for the first time, the Kings will have that. Being that, you know, Grundstrom hasn't played for a while, so it's probably going to be a little bit of an adjustment for him. He got to play a couple of games in the American Hockey League, you know, this past week, but, you know, stepping into the NHL is definitely a boost, and then stepping in at postseason time is even another level. So there'll be a little bit of adjustment for him. But I think Arvidsson was definitely, you know, a big piece coming back. You know, the right-handed shot for the power play. He pulls everybody into the battle. He's got all those little intangibles, his voice in the locker room. He plays with an edge. So, you know, those are pieces that, you know, that should make a difference as the way the Kings approach the game and what it does for the opposition, the way the opposition looks and tries to line up against the Kings as well.
Mm-hmm. Darryl Evans with us, LA Kings analyst on Sports 1440. Well, I would imagine you've seen every game that Anze Kopitar has played, Darryl. What amazes you and continues to amaze you on a guy that's 36 years old but is still almost a point-a-game guy in the regular season and continues to elevate his game once the postseason rolls around?
Yeah, I think the word that comes up is just consistency. You know, he's one of the most underrated players in the league. You know, I think it, you know, we, myself included, you know, because we get to see him all the time, not only in the games, but in practice, the way he conducts himself both on and off the ice, you know, the ultimate professional, very unselfish. You look at his numbers, his production, his goals in his first 6 years of his career to his last 6 years of his career, and they're almost identical. So I think that speaks to his commitment to, you know, the adjustments that he's made in his training to be able to play with today's athlete. You know, back in, you know, when he first started 18 years ago, you know, the speed of the game has increased so much, and he's still yet able to go out there. He plays against the opposition's top players night in and night out, plays in all the critical situations, power play, penalty kill, up a goal, down a goal. So his value is such a great level, but it's really been a treat. He's had one heck of a career, a Hall of Fame type of career, and really, you know, right now showing no signs of backing off at all. I think with the, you know, the youthful injection of guys like Byfield, who's played on his side most of the year this year, and of course what Adrian Kempe's done the last couple of years, that has allowed him to really use the cerebral part of his game and maybe leave a little bit of that physicality up to those other.
Well, it's really, we got him back, I think.
Yeah, I say, you know, he plays such a complete game. You know, the opposition, when they play against him, you know, they have so much respect for the way he plays in the defensive zone. Never cheats the game. Offensively, he could probably put up more numbers, but it's all about the team, you know, and he's been fortunate enough to raise the Stanley Cup a couple of times in his career, and he's hungry to do it again. So we'll see how he can push his team this year as as the playoffs start today.
So we make a lot of it up here about the different styles. It's Darryl, it's basically the Oilers are good because they push the pace and try to score, and the Kings are evil because they clog the neutral zone up. It's good versus evil. Even the Kings wear black like Darth Vader. I'd ask you this seriously, though. The Adrian Kempe led the Kings with 75 points this year. The Oilers had four players with more than that. The Kings had one 30-goal scorer. The Oilers had three. Is this a case of the Kings are going to need to up their offense to beat Edmonton, or do they need to, is it more important to thwart Edmonton's offense? Do the Kings score enough if they can defend the Oilers well enough, or do they need to score more?
Well, I think there's a happy medium there. You know, you can never score enough or too much. But I think, you know, this team has been built. The backbone of the hockey club has been defense for the last, you know, probably 15, 20 years. That's the strength of the team. Everybody's committed to doing that. Offensively, I think they've definitely improved over the last few years with the additions of Danault, Arvidsson, Kevin Fiala. You know, we haven't seen maybe the production from, you know, Dubois, but this is basically one of the reasons why he was acquired for was this time of year. So we'll see how that plays out through this series. Adrian Kempe's taken his game to another level. Byfield's starting to emerge. So I think the offense is starting to come, and I think they're capable of scoring more goals than they have in the past. But it all comes down to, you know, structure. If they play their game defensively, they put themselves in a good position. Mm-hmm. We all know the Oilers got all kinds of firepower. You can almost say they score at will. So it's going to be a battle. You know, it's going to be which team can execute their game plan to the finest and make the adjustments, again, from shift to shift, game to game, as the series goes on. But because they're so familiar with each other, I expect it to be real tight. I think, you know, you got to play with a lot of patience out there. You know, I think if you try to go out and, you know, win a game or win a series, you know, quick and fast, it's probably not going to, you know, it's not going to do well for you. I think you've got to be prepared for the long haul. And when the opportunities rise, you've got to take advantage of them. So I think that's the type of series it's going to be.
Darrell Evans with us on Sports 1440. We've broken this series down every way for the last 3 days and for the last 2.5 hours, Darrell. So let's go a little lighter here. And how often do you get asked about the Miracle on Manchester 42 years ago, Oilers and Kings in that series in 1982? And I'm sure every time someone brings it up, you get a smile on your face.
No doubt about it. I mean, this time of year is always special. And, you know, being able to reflect back, you know, on that series, it's just great memories. I've probably learned to appreciate it a lot more, you know, now than I did at the time. But, it's just great. And again, just, you know, even like watching some of the other games now, you know, you look at, you know, teams are down, you know, 2-3 goals, 4 goals, and teams are battling back. It's just great. But that's something I'll never forget. It'll always be, you know, a highlight of my career. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to not only be part of it, but, you know, to be able to, you know, score the goal in that comeback game. Again, it's something I'm very proud of and something that I'll always cherish.
Yeah, down 2 or 3 is a little different than being down 5 in the third period and coming back to win it in overtime, game 3, 6-5. Just that series, Darrell, so you end up 2-1 after that game, lose game 4, it was a close one, and you come back to Edmonton and beat the Oilers 7-4 in game 5.
Yeah, that was ironic in that series. You know, the Oilers, how they scored that year, and the Kings won, you know, the 10-8 game, the 6-5 game in overtime, and 7-4, and they lost the 2-3-2 game, which was,
there you go.
Was crazy that the Oilers won the tight checking games, you know. But I remember, you know, the two teams flying back to Edmonton for game 5 on the same plane. That was the quietest plane ride I've ever been on.
Is that right? Wow.
See, and that, you know, it's a metaphor, right? The great offensive team is very seldom wins when it counts with great offensive efforts. All those great Oilers teams had to, you know, the biggest game in Oilers history was a 1-0 game, right? Mm-hmm. This Oilers team we got now, they've been scoring for forever and they haven't won jack. It's not until they can play solid defensive hockey will they win. And we all love goals, Darrell. Right? We all love goals, but it's defense wins championships, mm-hmm. No?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think when you actually, like that series, and, you know, as looking back at it, I think it was probably the best lesson that ever happened to the Edmonton Oilers because they went on to win cups after that. I think they, you know, they really looked at their own game. Of course, they had, you know, all kinds of talent, and this team here has all kinds of talent with the Oilers now. A lot of offense, but you know, guys making a commitment to do the little things, to play the defensive type of games. And you know, until you're prepared to, you know, whether it's a 1-0 game or a 2-1 game, whatever you want to call it, to battle in those games, you know, other times, the same things can happen. Bounces can go the other way. So I think the game has changed, you know, from the 80s. There's a lot more attention to detail. I think the skill set right from the first guy to the last guy in the lineup is that much greater. There used to be more dump and chase, you know, maybe a little bit more fighting and, you know, I don't want to say more physicality because today's players are very physical as well, but a lot more fighting back then. But now it's the skill of the game. I mean, the entertainment level is unbelievable, but the skill that the players have. And that's where I think when it comes to this time of year, this is where, you know, of course, we all know the McDavids and the Draisaitls, you know, for Edmonton and, you know, the Kempes and Fialas and Kopitars for the Kings. But it's those guys on your third and fourth units. Those are the guys that, you know, your role players that, you know, you start getting goals from, you know, your bottom six forwards or maybe from a couple of defense. I think those are the things that could decide, you know, a tight series.
Daryl, can't thank you enough for your time. Really enjoy the series. We'll see you down at the rink. Appreciate you coming on Sports 1440. Take care.
Always a pleasure, guys. Anytime. Enjoy. It's going to be a fun series.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. That's Daryl Evans, LA Kings analyst, and our game of the day brought to you by St. Albert Dodge with an industry-leading 4.6 Google review rating. Head up the trail to St. Albert Dodge. See how easy it is to do business with the great people. Check them out, stalbertdodge.com. Well, Spec, you're on your way down to the rink here?
Yeah, I'm going to duck out a little early there. Yep. Dressing room's going to open at 10:30 down there.
Mm-hmm. Not 10. Oh, really?
No, 10:30.
Oh, so Rashog thought it was going to be 10.
Yeah, Rashog's, right? You know, yeah. Most guys up their game during the playoffs, but Rashog
takes
little,
it down another level.
He's a little sleepy.
There's a little group chat that goes on, and Rashog's been getting the business this morning because... Yeah. All you have to do is read.
All you have to do is read.
Man. Well, we'll see you down at the rink. I'll be heading down. I'll get there for the Kings, I guess. Probably I won't make it for the Oilers, yeah. But we'll see you down there for the Kings and then tonight. Thanks, Beck.
All right.
That's Mark Spector, our co-host, every Monday from 8 till 10. And Oilers getting ready, and Spec will putting the finishing touches on his coverage before the game. Is it quick? Is it 8:10 puck drop? Or are we going to see an 8:10?
I think we're going to see an 8:20.
8:20. Puck
drop. That's what I'm hearing. But,
and then 8:50 for Friday,
yeah,
Sunday?
Yeah, because it's the American broadcast get involved, and yeah. They like to have a big, loud, long pregame.
8:20.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's going to be a long 4 or 5 days.
Ah, whatever. So yeah. You stay up late. Get a nap in, old timer.
I will. Thanks, Beck. When we come back, we're going to go in or out without Spec. In or out without Spec. So the Duke and I will handle that segment when we come back on the Kevin Carey Show on Sports 1440. Stay with us. Ooh, little Van Halen, VH Duke. You know, so we've had, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guests so far, including Spec.
Mm-hmm.
All breaking down the Oilers and Kings series. Do you feel, I mean, is there a big confidence with the Oilers? Are you feeling maybe a bit pensive? Are you feeling this is going to be a tough go? Are you feeling that maybe the Kings are going to be a little more of a handful for the Oilers? Are you thinking that the Oilers should have an easier way with them? And it's not just this morning. We've talked about it since really Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the weekend, I'm sure you bump into whoever and they're going, someone's going to say, you know, it's going to be a tough series. The Oilers are better. They, you know, if you look on some of the sites, they're 70% favored to win. Or not just that, but they're all the categories. If you want to talk offense, defense, goaltending, break it down.
Mm-hmm.
They're favored. They are favored to beat LA. But when that happens, there's always something that can happen. So what's your feeling when you listen to Burnside, you listen to Low Tide, Ben Scrivens breaking down the goaltenders, talking about less in the bullpen, which mm-hmm. was, that means he's not as happy about Scrivens over, I mean, as happy with Pickard over Campbell.
Yeah.
And then Daryl Evans listening to him saying, you know, we got a good squad here.
Yeah, it is really interesting, and we're actually going to dive into a bit here during In or Out with the second question. But my personal opinion is that the Oilers should be as, if not more, confident about this matchup with the Kings than they have over the two springs previous. Because, like you said, when you actually just stack up, whether it be high-end talent, maybe depth would be the closest matchup-wise where they kind of are head-to-head-wise. Mm-hmm. But the total defense as a collective, the goaltending, we in Edmonton are pretty familiar with Cam Talbot's game. And, you know, a couple years removed from playing playoff games of this caliber, I guess, against this quality of an opponent. But like, whether it's him or Dave Riddick or either as good as Stu Skinner has been this season. And I think the answer to almost all these questions, like I said, maybe save the depth, is no. And so my and the text line is pretty mixed. Some people are oozing confidence. There is some skepticism and a little bit of, like you said, nervousness maybe even, that this Kings team is coming in a little bit underrated because of everything that Daryl talked about and Scott as well. So I would be confident if I were an Oilers fan, which like I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like a tertiary one. I've lived in Edmonton long enough that you kind of grow to become a fan, but I like kind of covering the team, right? Mm-hmm. And looking at it through a little bit more of, I don't know, an unbiased lens, I guess.
Which is great for what we do. Mm-hmm. We want to have that perspective to relate to our listeners, that we're showing both sides of it, not just everything is all great and sunshine and roses with the Oilers. And we had to do that at the start of the year. So,
Then as I said, you got to sometimes shore up the boats a little bit because everybody thinks the world's on fire and the sky is falling. But we can come in and say, listen, like it's I know it's bad right now, but this is a good hockey team, and we can point to the things of the coaching change and Chris Knobloch and what Paul Coffey's done with the defense, which I know you mentioned it when you're on with Rod Peterson a week or two ago. He said, you know, maybe an underrated MVP of the season, the way he's transformed how this defense plays in confidence with the puck. But the long point around being that I think regardless of how things shook out back there in October, November, this team would have found their way out of it eventually, coaching change or not.
So if you were to compare this year's team to last year's team, it's deeper.
The Oilers, for sure.
It's bigger.
It's bigger. I mean, it's got more playoff experience, I think. It's
And last year's team was up in game 5 against Vegas, blows it in the second. Game 6, same thing. So they were that close last year. That's why they were so just despondent after game 6. Mm-hmm. You saw Connor and Leon, I mean, basically couldn't even talk. And that's why they realized the year before when they lost to Colorado, they knew they weren't that close.
That's right.
Last year, they knew they were
right there,
just as good as Vegas.
Yeah.
And we're that close. All right, Duke, time now for Are You In or Are You Out?
Okay, you know what? Moving too fast. Bottom line, are you in or are you out?
In or out of what?
No time for questions, just action. In or out.
Well, then I'm out.
I'm sorry, Jet. Actually, you're already in.
Are you in or are you out?
On Sports 1440.
I thought you would go, I'm in, Bob. We would have had a really cool moment, but you kind of ruined the whole thing.
All right, Duke Letterbuck.
As we've discussed all morning, game 1 tonight from Rogers Place. Puck drop scheduled for 8 o'clock. We'll probably see it closer to 8:15 or maybe even 8:20, as Spec said. Taking on the LA Kings for the third straight spring in a row. Evander Kane looking to be unavailable for game 1 and maybe beyond as he deals with a sports hernia injury that apparently has been nagging him for a while. I'm just saying that the play of Dylan Holloway, what we saw from him down the stretch, should allow the Oilers to rest Evander Kane until he is returned to a full or at least near full health with little worries.
Are you hurt or are you injured? That's the whole thing. I'm going to be in on this one, and under the premise that Dylan Holloway continues to play the way he has played. He did have, after that game against Vegas, there was a bit of a drop-off on the two back-to-backs, Arizona and the Canucks here. Those were two home games. I felt that he was a little bit of a drop-off. Then he went back to way he played in games 4 and 5 since his call-up. So he needs to continue to play that way or else he's not going to have a spot either. But how much can Evander Kane contribute playing? Is he at 70%?
This banged 80%? Up, right? We don't really know, I guess, right?
So, and he hasn't played for a little over a week and some. So he's missed a handful of games, 5 games, and all the practices. So I'm going to say if he plays the way he can, that should allow Kane to rest until he's fully healthy. But again, this is no gimme here. This is going to be a tough, grinding series.
Yeah.
And when you're playing a team like the Kings who grind it out, you need a guy like Evander Kane to lay the body, being strong on the forecheck. But he's got to be 100%, and he's got to be able to contribute. So there lies the rub.
Number two, the other side of the coin. This LA Kings team, in my opinion, the weakest that the Oilers have played in the playoffs over the past now 3 straight seasons.
I'm going to be out on this one, Duke. And maybe you're talking about goaltending. Jonathan Quick played very well when he was with the Kings against the Oilers. But I'm going to be out because I still look at Victor Arvidsson coming back.
Huge re-addition.
This guy's going to be such a key component for the Kings. I look at that fourth line, and if that fourth line can perform at a level that it's capable of playing in Dubois, Byfield, and now Grunstrom back, and we saw Grunstrom, he is an absolute cannonball. He's like a Rafi Torres out there. You know, he gets involved. That line worries me, and I think the defense might be a little weaker than what we saw in the past, but I'm going to say I'm out on this one. It's not the weakest that the Oilers have played in the playoffs. I think it's
pretty well on par, just a little different of a look.
I think it's better than those teams that we saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's better.
My reasoning here is that their top-end players will still call them Anze Kopitar and Drew Doughty. They're just another year older with more miles on the tires, less tread left. They replace three players, two real contributors in Iafallo and Gabe Vilardi, who had great years and immediate contributions for the Jets in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Replace them with Pierre-Luc Dubois, who has a less than spectacular season. We've talked about it a lot all year in his first with the Kings. Then you're like guys like Vilardi and Iafallo, a couple years under their belts, they're only getting better in the playoffs now moving forward. You replace them with some young players like Quinton Byfield. Great breakout season, but kind of his first time under the spotlight in the playoffs, right? And then their defense, Walker, Durzi out, Jordan Spence, Englund, and Roy with more minutes, of course. Like you can't really doubt the likes of Gavrikov, Doughty, and Anderson. Mm-hmm. They're for sure top four guys. And then down to the goaltending. You know, Talbot, great start to the year, but we the whole Kings team, of course, tailed off in the middle that led to the firing of Tom McClellan.
What about... I mean, Jordan Spence on defense, that's a guy that you can exploit a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And his partner, Andreas Englund, that'll be an interesting matchup, that third pairing. We know what Gavrikov brings. We know, I think, what Matt Roy brings. But that third pairing, not sure exactly what they bring. We'll see how the Oilers match up against that third pairing.
Yeah, like top-end talent, I'll take the Oilers' top-end guys up front, of course. I would say the depth is comparable. The Oilers the Kings have a deep roster. Like I said, they have the benefit of being able to, in theory, I'll put quotes on this, play Pierre-Luc Dubois and Quinton Byfield on the fourth line. And then the third line, you can say, well, maybe that's a fourth line. But with Kevin Fiala on the wing, can you really call that a fourth line? Mm-hmm. And you can trickle that up all the way to the top where Kopitar and Kempe, but then Alex Laferriere, you know, young rookie player, first year out of college. He's going to have a lot of spotlight on him playing up top with two very effective players in Kempe and Kopitar. So interesting. Like I said, I don't think it'll be a cakewalk, but I think things line up well for the Oilers to play their way through to round number two here. Mm-hmm. Number three, biggest surprise for the NHL playoffs opening weekend. There were a couple, but I think the biggest for me, the goal total in Winnipeg and Colorado, 13 goals between the two, six of which coming against likely Vezina Trophy winner Connor Hellebuyck.
That has to be, I'm totally in on that. I cannot believe there were 13 goals in that game. And I mean, it was defense optional. And yes, it was closer, you know, what was it, 7-5 and then a 7-6 game. But I mean, it was 2-1 in the first period, sat down for supper quickly and never even gobbled down a nice little piece of dessert pie that Poopsie made. And it was 3-3. And I was like, then you start the second and you go, I got to make sure that we're leaving during the intermission.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to miss anything. So 100% in on this one. That's the biggest surprise for me. I bet all the Leafs fans will say, we didn't win game one. That's the biggest
surprise. What a surprise.
Yeah. Put on your surprise face. Yeah, whatever. The last time I was surprised was when I found out ice cream cones were hollow. That's the number one for me, Duke. No question about it.
Yeah, Gorgiev only 13 of 19 on that side. And then Hellebuyck, I mean, he made 40 saves, but like I said, still give up six. You would think that the Avalanche, like you mentioned earlier, if you were to tell them before the game, you guys put six past Hellebuyck in game one, that seems like a game you win more times than not. So, certainly a shocker. I will just a little credit to myself. Of the what do we have, six game ones over the weekend. I correctly predicted the result of all but last night's. I had Nashville last night. Taking game one, kind of hoping to come
and
out.
They were very close to doing it.
They were right in the game pretty much in its entirety. But, I mean, the thing is, all the teams that won were the favorites. Like I said, the home teams. Even Boston was slightly favored over Toronto in game one. But I will credit to a couple puck line bets on the Hurricanes and Rangers over teams that, like we said, not many people giving much of a sniff in the first round in Washington and the Islanders. Yeah. Number four. Back kind of to a similar sentiment here. The team that will need their goaltender the most in order to win round one is the Nashville Predators, while the team that will need their goalie the least and still a chance at being successful is the Colorado Avalanche.
Well, do you think Georgie the Fifth is out here or what?
I think they go back to him.
Yeah. To start game two.
For sure. I think the leash just got a lot shorter.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one to answer. I'll just say I'm out on this because the team that will need their goaltender the most to win in round one is Nashville.
Yeah. Because if you, like the, my reasoning, I'll give a little backstory.
You just think that because Colorado has so much firepower,
they might be able to outscore their problems.
Yeah.
Even against, like I said, they put six past Hellebuck in game one. Their offense is that dynamic. But you look at some of the other underdogs across the league, like the Islanders, Varlamov starting game one. I'm sure he'll go back in for game two. But, like, do they need him? They might go to Sorokin. Maybe they need him. And then the same situation, you look at a couple of the other dogs, like, there might be some goalie flip-flopping elsewhere. Saros is the de facto number one. He will start every game no matter what. So that's a little bit of the reasoning there. And, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with Colorado. I think they if they were to win, which I don't predict them to do, it will be by outscoring their problems.
You could say all the underdogs need their goalie to stand on their head.
100%.
And I mean, you listen to what Ben Scriven said. You know, I agree to an extent, but the teams that are, you know, you need Chuck Lindgren to stand on his head to have any.
But like Lindgren, I mean, he wasn't poor by any stretch, but, you know, the Capitals are just so outmatched in that series. Like, would it be shocking if we see Darcy Kemper at some point?
I don't know. I mean, look at Ovi. Didn't have a shot on goal.
Yeah.
Played, what, 180 playoff games and or whatever it is. Four or five playoff games in his life, no shots on goal. One of them was yesterday.
Yeah.
So
pretty surprising. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, we'll stick this semi in the world of sports. It's Earth Day today as we celebrate this great planet. You know, the weather is getting a little bit nicer. I think a high of 16 or 17, even with the wind up a little bit this morning. This is just a little pro tip.
You want to
enjoy the outdoors a little
pro
bit.
Pro tip.
You want to still take in this beautiful planet we have, you know, gracing us with in the springtime. Outside friendly way to enjoy this hectic spring schedule, world of sports, NBA playoffs, MLB underway, NHL, etc. Move the TV.
Yeah.
Out to the backyard, even if it's just sitting on a Rubbermaid tub or you got somewhere on the patio, you can mount it to a pillar or something. Get some outside sports going. Maybe you got a little fire pit you can cook up as well. It's a great way to enjoy spring sports.
100% in, Duke. I think only for the early game, though, or an afternoon game. The late game, if we're talking 8:50, you need one of those fires going.
Yes.
And the outside TVs, are they on the screen, are they different to there's no shine?
Well,
you can
buy specific outdoor TVs, but I like even, and it's a little bit tougher in the afternoon when the sun is still out, and you know, depending on the layout of your yard, if you have some shade you can put it under, but even you got a spare one in the extra bedroom, or maybe even you just pull it off the stand in the living room and you carry it out the back door. That's why I like the evening games even more, because then you have no worry about that whatsoever. Maybe you do got a nice little not necessarily like a wood fire pit, but you can go that way as well. But like a little gas one, you just light up.
Still a little chilly. We were talking here.
Yeah, well, you need the fires, especially last night still. Yeah. You need something, a nice blanket around you, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Get the popcorn going.
Good stuff, Duke. When we come back, Lorianne Munzer, Olympic gold medalist. We'll break down the grind of a two-month playoff, just an absolute test of will and how tough it is on an individual. So this will be an interesting take from Lorianne, whose events, you know, and she says her events in the Olympics last less than a minute. This is a two-month grind. Her take as a mind coach. That's coming up top of the hour. Before that, time now for a sports 1440 update brought to you by your Alberta GMC dealers. Get up to $6,500 cash purchase credit on a 2024 Sierra 1500 Denali Ultimate. This is all during truck month. You can see more at gmcoffers.ca. Here is the Duke.